Welcome to the Midweek Teas with me, Adele Onyango, where I share some random and not too random thoughts on things. And in this episode, let's talk about this enmeshment thing. I still remember the therapy session where my therapist told me I was enmeshed in all, not one, not two, but all of my major relationships, like key relationships. I had no boundaries, couldn't figure out who I am, what I wanted, couldn't hear my own voice. I probably had a master's in people pleasing. It was wild. And before that particular therapy session, I had never heard of the word enmeshed before. And when she broke down what enmeshment was and I understood it, I realized that at that time, I thought it could only happen in intimate relationships. But in my case, it was happening in my intimate relationship, yes, as a result of it happening in my familial relationships, right? I just hadn't caught that. Now, every family is connected, bonded, and supportive in different ways. Some family dynamics are considered pretty healthy and others are more concerning. It is said that enmeshment occurs when family members are emotionally reactive to one another and wholly intertwined in an unhealthy way. And sometimes it's hard to distinguish because family is meant to be bonded very strongly. That seems healthy in many spaces, but it can also be unhealthy if not checked. And so with enmeshment, the emotional bond between family members is intertwined without separation. With something like disengagement, it's when family members are entirely emotionally separate from one another, but both are considered unhealthy and can affect a child's development and well-being. Now, with enmeshed relationships, if we're talking about them from like parents-child relationships, a parent relies on their children for emotional support. They also foster an environment where the children excessively depend on them. And by doing that, they're not helping their children develop independence. So what happens is children who are raised to rely on their parents for all of their emotional needs are going to struggle to handle basic adversity and struggle in trying to figure out their sense of self, their identity, and obviously independence. I was definitely enmeshed with my mom, 100%, and it felt so good. And in many ways, it was so healthy, so much so, I'm not sure we could identify the unhealthiness of it, right? And when she died, what I did was immediately put all key family members in her place, and then I continued to be enmeshed, right? So looking for that emotional dependency and needs, etc., from them. I remember when my mom died, I broke up soon afterwards with the guy I was with then, whom I believe now to be the one person I have truly loved. And at the time, our breakup was inevitable. We were young, I was immature, he was other things. But I remember feeling like it was the right thing for us to break up for many reasons. And one of those reasons was that a close family member didn't approve of them. And in a healthy list of reasons why you're breaking up, that shouldn't be far up in the list. Even when I was settling down, I remember feeling like I was making the right and safe decision because the people I was enmeshed with approved of my then partner. And it's not wrong to want the people in your life to accept or approve of your partner. But again, that shouldn't be top of the list in importance. It shouldn't be overriding what you feel, what you want. You should take as much time to try and figure out who you are and work on your sense of self so that even if it's important to you that the people who are dear to you accept or like your partner, it doesn't override what you want. I hope I'm making sense. So in this episode, I want to share signs of enmeshment, maybe some examples and tips, some things that have worked for me in undoing enmeshment. So let's start with signs. If you may have enmeshed relationships, you may not have a strong sense of self. Wait, this was me. I really thought I knew who I was, but that person was dependent on the approval of enmeshed relationships. And I have to say, it's not that, remember earlier in the episode, I said I put people in those positions and then got enmeshed with them. It was a fully me thing. It was me subconsciously, because I wasn't doing it consciously, going to these spaces for emotional approval, needs, and support, right? And in doing so, completely erasing and eroding my sense of self. Another sign that you may have enmeshed relationships is you depend on others to provide validation and gas up your self-esteem. And honestly, like, when I think about it, I would share everything that was happening in my career, and like almost like my clapping for myself, me giving myself validation was not enough. I had to go to certain spaces to get that validation. And if I didn't get it, there'd be a problem. And the core enmeshed relationship for me was definitely with my late mom. And remember when I said it's hard to identify when such a bond is unhealthy? I mean, if you're doing something in your career and you go back to share this with your mom, I feel like her clapping is very healthy, right? But there's another layer where her clapping validated that, yes, I should be doing this thing. It wasn't, I'm doing this thing because I want to do this thing and it brings me joy. Such a slight difference. And it causes a hell of a change. Another sign is that you cannot function well alone. Oof! I have some tips for this, but 100%. Do you know, I've found that I've made so much progress to the point that before, if I was alone, there needed to be noise around me. So a TV show playing in the background, music playing in the background, like just sitting in silence, either working or just not doing anything was so difficult for me to do. But right now, it's not. Such a small thing, right, that we don't think is an issue. But for me, I was so unable to function alone to the extent that I needed the illusion of noise around me and people around me. Another sign is you have difficulty acting alone and having a healthy level of independence within a relationship. Facts. Another sign is you're unable to act and think separately from your family without feeling the family was betrayed. Mm-hmm. Another sign is you do not engage in activities for your own enjoyment, but you look to do what others want. So this can even be in your friend groups, right? How you arrive in those spaces and the activities that you do with your friends. Are they activities that you enjoy doing, or you're doing them because that's what others want to do? Remember when I told you I had a PhD in people pleasing? Oh my goodness. And so I also found, which was quite helpful, examples of enmeshment. So an example can be a mother who calls her son's ex-girlfriend to ask why she broke up with him. Oh my God, that's bonkers. But you know they are, oh my God, this happens a lot. Oh my goodness, this happened in one of my ex-relationships. Oh my goodness. Oh, okay. Hey, I completely forgotten. Another example is a person who cannot make simple life decisions without consulting their parents first. This was me 100%. When it came to my mom, I would consult. And it's not a bad thing, I feel, but I would go there ready to do whatever she said I should do. Instead of going there saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I feel is right for me, what do you think? And then taking her thoughts into consideration when I'm making my decision. Slight difference makes a hell of a change. Another example is a family member who takes it personally when someone else in the family moves away. Whew. Yeah. Another example, a parent who relies on her child for support through her divorce. Ooh, true that. Another example, a person who has no understanding of activities they enjoy and takes on the interests of their friends. Yep. If you can't list things that you like doing, that's a big problem, right? But it can be fixed. So in doing my reading up, I found that there are a few mental health issues that are common for people who are in enmeshed relationships, right? So depression is top of the list. There is also anxiety. Anxiety is listed there, especially when a person has to function alone. There is substance misuse. You know, sometimes you look to a substance to help alleviate emotional discomfort. There's also eating disorders, and this is said to be common in adolescents with overly involved parents. All right, let's get to me sharing what has worked for me, because who knows, it could work for you, could not. Take something from this list or throw the entire list in the trash, no problem. Number one was boundaries. Oh my goodness. Now, it's said that boundaries are mostly non-existent in enmeshed relationships. So you have to start setting boundaries. And at the beginning, it can be quite daunting. So I found that it's quite helpful to start slow because you'll feel a ton of emotions when you're putting together your boundaries. You'll feel uncomfortable saying no. You will feel uncomfortable pursuing something without permission or validation from others. But going slow and feeling these feelings from these actions that you're doing is super normal because these actions are essential in setting healthy boundaries. Now, I also feel like it can help to take some time to think about the things that make you happy, regardless of how they affect others. These things that you like to do or things that you would rather not do because they're a threat to your happiness. Start clearly identifying these things so that you start building the muscle and saying no to the things that take you away from your happiness or make you uncomfortable. So if you would rather only do one family gathering in every quarter of the year because that's what you can handle, be very clear in your head for yourself first that this is what is comfortable and good for my happiness, you know? Once you've accepted whatever it is for yourself first, relaying it as a boundary, however you want to relay it, becomes easier because you've accepted it for yourself first. I also had to acknowledge that I will feel guilty while setting boundaries, you know? In the past, my fulfillment unhealthily came from overperforming in enmeshed relationships. So I did feel lost without that fulfillment, right? And I felt extremely guilty. I still feel guilty setting boundaries to date. But what's changed is that I've acknowledged that guilt will come as I set boundaries. And it doesn't mean stop or don't do it. It just means that my mental or my body is grieving the old unhealthy habits or ties that I had gotten so comfortable with. I also had to give myself grace. It had been decades of enmeshment, right? That was my normal. So it's important to take this into consideration when setting your expectations of how quickly you'll adapt to your new boundaries, right? So you will mess up. You don't have to beat yourself down about it. It was decades of you living a certain way that you're trying to undo and adopt new healthy boundaries. So it's going to take you some time. So adjust those expectations and just be graceful with yourself. The second tip is mindfulness. Coming from an enmeshed family might make it pretty hard to recognize when you are in an enmeshed relationship as an adult, right? Because this is normal for you. And mindfulness is key in this moment because it helps you pay attention to the present moment and notice your external environment and internal responses. So in my current relationship at the beginning, I was definitely falling into enmeshment again, and I had to catch myself real quick. And very naturally, which I'm thankful for, I found spaces that are just for me. Even if it's just time apart, I found that to be very important. And I found that to be more normal, You know, I think especially with relationships, we try and have this blanket approach of talk every day, and not just every day, talk every moment of every day, and share every activity that you do has to be shared. You have to be doing it together and all of these things, right? And we push this as a blanket statement, forgetting there's some of us like me who are not only anxiously attached, number one, but we are healing from enmeshment. And so what you're telling us is normal. We'll take it and take it to gear five. And it will be terribly unhealthy. And so I have had to understand that it's okay for both of us to have our own individual spaces, individual activities that we do. We don't have to talk every minute of every day, my goodness. And what I have seen happen is it allows breathing space, not only for me to grow my sense of self in a very healthy way, but also for us to miss each other, you know, and just kind of like have such rich moments when we do spend time together, when we do activities together, you know. Also, I've kind of understood that the activities don't have to be like this loud, big thing that society has defined is an acceptable activity for a couple to do together and enjoy. I've found that the activities that are around some of our passion points, or like me sharing my passion point with them and them sharing their passion point with me, are quite wonderful. You know, those have, in my opinion, resulted in more of a bond, you know? Anyway, hey, mindfulness, you're gonna need it. Therapy is my third tip, because I would not have recognized the enmeshed relationships or the impact of growing up in an enmeshed family were it not for therapy. You know, that was number one in the identification of it. Number two, setting boundaries can be hard. Saying no is difficult. Finding a sense of self and identity and independence is hard. And I just found that therapy helped me be able to do that. And because I became aware of my enmeshed background, I also kind of was wary. Is wary the best word? Maybe aware of there needing to be breathing space between myself and my main therapist, right? And so, you know, we would go through every week sessions, right? Right? And going through and tracking activity and tracking progress and looking like, oh, we need to get back to this point and redo this, etc. But there would be breathing space where I would have to tough it out myself. And I found that to be very important so that I don't fall into the trap of swapping another enmeshed relationship for another. Does that make sense? So that's a caveat I'm sharing as I share the tip that therapy did help me. But if you are trying to recover from enmeshment, be aware that that was your normal, because you can slip into getting enmeshed with your therapist. Goodness. The next tip is engage in activities that increase your self-esteem, you know? And it could be activities like affirmations, or it could be activities where you've put in effort and you'll see the effort coming out. So for example, my drum lessons, like drumming, hey, it's really giving my self-esteem crazy gas. I'll tell you why, yo. So like, I can drum to songs that I hear while I'm driving in my car. And when I get home, I'm like, I know the groove, and I'm going to add my own fill. And I come home and I do for like an hour or so, and I got it. And myself, I'm just like, I am that chick. So like drumming and just like my affirmations, they are just doing wonders for my self-esteem. The other tip is cultivate your own interests, right? Like, so it could be studying the subject you're passionate about, spending time with friends that you have chosen for yourself, or even just doing things solo. So for example, I've realized I really love watching plays and theatrical performances. And so I have been going to a lot of those. I've gone for two by myself, like did not know anyone who was going to be there, did bump into people I knew there, but ultimately it was a solo date. And not just a solo date, it was a solo date specifically doing or watching something I am fully interested in. And it felt so wonderful, right? The other tip is avoid making decisions based on guilt. And this I've been trying to catch myself with. I'm still working on it. So if somebody asks me to do something and I scan my body for the emotions I'm feeling, if I notice that I want to do the thing because I feel guilty, because either they showed up for me in one way or I feel guilty if I say no, I'm gonna say no. I just feel like guilt is not enough of an emotion for me to be doing things. Like, I should be showing up for people because I want to show up for them, right? It shouldn't be guilt driven. I should be, and it's not even that he's showing up for people, because that's like deep. It's like showing up for an event. I shouldn't be going for, like, you invite me to lunch. I shouldn't come because I feel guilty. If I don't come, that's not a strong enough, you know what I mean? Yeah, about making decisions based on guilt. The next tip is make a list of your strengths and remind yourself about them as often as needed. And I've said this in past, past podcast episodes. My partner some time back gave me a memory card full of all the things I've done in my life and in my career that are so noteworthy and so wonderful, like my wins, right? And he put them into different folders and also included just some of my favorite memes. Like that one of, I think it's taken from like a Nigerian movie where there's a guy who's like, I don't like peace, I like problems. That is one of my favorite memes. Anyway, I digress. And so that memory card, I'm looking at it now because I'm recording this in my office. It's always on my desk, like in a position, a place I can see it. What I started doing is adding to it every year just so that I can open it very easily and very quickly in the moments that I feel less than. And I need to remind myself that I am that bitch. I also have versions of it on my phone. So I have different folders for every year in case I'm nowhere close to my office and I need to open something to remind myself that, girl, you got this, you know? The next tip is spend time with people you admire and think about the traits that draw you to them. And this I like. I've started having conversations with women who are entrepreneurs and leading businesses or organizations in their own right. And not in terms of like, oh, mentorship, manenos. No, I'm actually like meeting and talking to people who are currently building just like me and just loving their tenacity, their do-it-afraidness, and their big dreaming, and kind of just saying, oh, I love those traits, acknowledging that I have those traits as well, and building them up as well. The other thing is try new things, even if you think you might fail. Honestly, you may find that you don't like the thing. You may find that you might not be good at it, but you like it. So, yay, that's a win. Or you might find that you like it and you're damn good at it. I mean, why not? And it also exercises your independence of you just saying, hey, I'm going to try and learn this thing. Let me go do it. And the last one, I'm sharing it as a tip that, but just know that I haven't mastered it at all yet. Learn how to say no without excuses or apologies. Mine is without lies. Honestly, like, I may not want to do something. I'm like, oh no, I'm traveling. I'm away. And one of my best friends is like, babe, you have to just say no. Because she's so good at it. Like, she doesn't lie. She's just like, I'm not in the mood, you know, or no. Like, she doesn't even explain it. Like, there's no justification. No, I'm not doing that. Me, I already thought of the many. No, you know, I have a shoot that day. So I'm still learning this particular tip, but I'm going to put it here still, okay? So that you know you're not alone. Learn how to say no without excuses or apologies, or in my case, lies. Thanks for listening to The Midweek Tease, a Legally Clueless Africa production. Episodes go out every Wednesday, and you can learn more about us by going to legallycluelessafrica.com.